When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, Bucks fans. It is Real Bucks Talk. We are back here on a Monday live. Hell yeah. And we're only a week away from Buccaneers training camp, which is very exciting as we finally get into some football activity, some preseason football games as well, and get ready for this season. As always, I'm your host, Michael Plus, joined by my co-host, Mark Ramirez. Mark, it's got to feel good as we're going to get into some like real football content where we can really talk about the Bucks and break it down. But, you know, we have our position previews that have been coming out. We're going to finish those up this week. But overall, I mean, how do you feel about just the upcoming season? It's got to be exciting times.
Well, how do I feel? I feel it's win or go home. I mean, this is a Super Bowl roster, very much talented everywhere you can think about it. I mean, there's veteran leadership, there's young up-and-comers, and there's guys that are hungry for a championship, not just to win, but win the whole damn thing. And that's how every player should be, but those are realistic expectations when you have Tom Brady at quarterback, an offensive system that's been in place for now 4 years going. And defensively, you got all nothing but young up-and-comers, and then you have Sprinkleman, Lavonte Davids of the world. I mean, they're all there. It's all there to compete and win it. Just got to stay healthy, but I'm excited. Nonetheless, I'm extremely excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, we're finishing up our position previews. We're going to have our safety position come out tomorrow and then our special teams to wrap it up. So if you guys have been following that series, we appreciate it. You know, be sure to give us a like, comment, and subscribe on the channel if you haven't. And check it out. A lot of good content over there. We got some new content that we're working up for the season. Really excited about that. We're starting to get into YouTube shorts a little bit. So,
oh, yeah, do you all see that? Plus, there's pearly whites out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just trying to get that going and, you know, just give you guys, you know, little tidbits or, you know, just small content that we can share with you. Always good to push the channel. With that said, though, very excited about, you know, just the upcoming season. Obviously, a lot of training camp battles coming up. I know. You know, a lot of people I've mentioned were looking forward to the left guard battle. There's battles at running backs. You know, but really competition everywhere. Defensively, who's going to be the starting, like the starting three safeties, the rotation there. You know, what are we going to look at as far as defensive line? So a lot of good stuff to get to.
Yeah, I mean, guys, ask it in the chat. I know in the chat room right now, Ken Barrett's in there. He's watching Real Bucks Talk. The Home Run Derby and the Bachelorette. Wow. Wow, my dear. I hope it's in that order, too. It just got worse as he kept naming things off. And then Bud Campbell's in there. He's watching the Home Run Derby as well. Alonzo going on Alonzo. I think I grew out of the Home Run Derby. It was exciting for a little bit. Chris Berman with the back.
I didn't even know it was on. It's on today, I guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. All-Star Game's tomorrow, so.
I ain't about it.
Yeah.
Oh, but here's one you want to jump right into this. Ken Barrett brought it up immediately. Yeah. How about the media writing about a 2-month-old story with Lenny? LMFAO. So, you know what? Let's jump into the nitty-gritty, right? Everyone wants to talk about it. So, let's bring it up. You bring it into the story. Leonard Fournette weighs almost 260 pounds. Bucks coaches aren't happy. This was today, 11:30, they said this. This is something that's been in the news. And you can even see it here. Here he is, kind of training around, jumping around. I mean, he looks stocky. He's always been stocky, but he doesn't look fat. I think he just looks big. I mean, when he weighed into the combine, he was 240 pounds, 240 something. He just looks stocky. He doesn't look like how Kelvin Benjamin looked in the Panthers practices way back when. Let me zoom in for you guys to see it. I mean, does that look like a fat guy? Does that look like Zion Williamson? Let's case NBA. Does that look like Zion Williamson, or is that still kind of yoked in his arms too? Look at that. What is your two cents on that? And then the story came out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't look too much into it. I even said that today on Twitter. You know, I don't think he's, you know, 260 pounds right now. Obviously, he's been working out. He's been getting into shape. You know, the off season is the off season. You know, these guys are professionals, and when the time comes, these guys are going to be in the best shapes that they possibly can be. And Lenny talked about, you know, last season he was anywhere from 225 to 235. It just varies his weight because he is a big dude. He's going to lose weight at times throughout the year. So I'm not going to get all, you know, I don't know, complain about it, I guess. I mean, it's...
Here's a little devil's advocate. Okay, so talking shredded piece of meat, Christian McCaffrey, dude's hurt every fucking year.
Exactly.
Talk about Reggie Bush, shredded piece of meat. Dude is hurt every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you want that? Or do you want a guy that's big chunk of muscle, but he's got a little bit of padding on him? I mean, besides his soft tissue injury, where it literally looked like a terrible stretch of the hamstring last year. I mean, he's usually out there. I'd rather the guy be healthy, taking a pounding, and stay on the field. I don't really care if you're looking shredded to shit. Who the hell cares about that? This is football. You're going to be having to take hits, especially at that position. That's just my sense.
No, I agree. And, you know, Ken says it pretty much well here. I mean, you know, with Lenny, here's my thing. Am I happy? No. Does he have the opportunity to lose weight before camp? Yes. And if you watch his trainer's videos, he already looks in way better shape. And that's all true. You know, so the main thing is, you know, when he gets to the season, is he producing? That's really, as Bucks fans, that's what we care about. If it's not hurting him on the field, then really it's a non-issue. So, I mean, Leonard is a consistent running back. He knows what he has to do to be the best out there. And, you know, I think he's going to do that. And plus, he's got competition behind him, you know, with Rashad White, who's obviously gunning for playing time. And then you have Keyshawn Vaughn and Gio Bernard as well. So, you know, he's going to be on the top of his game. Now, if it becomes an issue during camp where, you know, obviously he doesn't pass a physical or something along those lines, then we start to, you know, worry about it. But we haven't got to that point yet. So really it's just, you know, Pro Football Talk doing their thing where they just talk nonsense and it's slow, you know, slow news day. And that's what they're going to do. So
I think it's any media outlet, just bash the Bucks.
Yeah. I mean,
even somebody go there and leave us.
Right.
Forget
yeah. Joe Bucks fan did the same. They came out with this article on Friday, you know, talking about Leonard Fournette. I think Rick Stroud was maybe the first one to talk about it, but, and obviously the Bucks coaches aren't going to be happy. You know, they're not going to be happy that he's overweight. They probably had a discussion with him and, you know, they sort it out.
Yeah, well, but that's the thing. Like, his normal at the combine where he ran incredible for a guy this size was 240.
Yes.
Near 260. What is that? 255.
Right.
It's dropped 15 pounds for a guy. It's pretty big. Mm. How much of that is water? Maybe 5 to 8 pounds. I mean, he knows his body better than anyone. As long as his cardio is there, I'm pretty sure he's healthy. Let's put it that way. And Chris Cole, welcome to the chat. Welcome to the show. I mean, bring up any topics you want to discuss. We're talking about Lenny Fournette being 350 pounds. We're talking about the media getting all mad at the Buccaneers for that. Tom Brady is still a Buck, so obviously ESPN's going to hate it. And let's go to the other drama-filled one. Might as well, since we're here, let's bring up Jimmy G. What is your topic on Jimmy Garoppolo? Supposedly, he was a shoo-in to be a Buccaneer in the next couple, 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're a little late on this, but apparently, you know, a couple of weeks back, you know, there was rumors that, you know, the Bucs were interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, reported by Dan Cilio, which right away I was like, okay, this is nonsense, because Dan Cilio is just not a trusted source by any means. Usually he just puts stuff out there to, you know, get clicks or whatever. And you know, I saw that and I was like, why would the Bucks trade for Jimmy Garoppolo right now? I mean, it really doesn't make sense. You have your quarterback room pretty much set. Contract is ridiculous. So unless 49ers want to take on majority of the contract to get rid of him and you give up maybe a seventh round pick, okay. But it just didn't make sense right now, especially a guy that's going to be a free agent next year. And if maybe you want to sign him to a one-year deal next year, maybe, but really there's no reason to trade for him at this time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, here's also another thing. I guess everyone saw the price tag Baker Mayfield got. He's also in our division now. He's in Carolina Panther, and they traded, a fifth-round pick? It was nothing.
Right.
So people are like, oh, well, maybe we'll just throw in a pick, fifth-rounder, sixth-rounder, whatever the hell it is for Garoppolo, and you have your quarterback of the future. Everyone's like, oh, just there it is. Then you just bypass, you just drafted a second round pick and Kyle Trask. That's just thrown away too then. So technically you would have thrown away a second and a fifth, not just the fifth, if that's the way you're looking at it. Mm. Or if you're trying to get competition in here, why are you going to bring that big of a contract for competition? Yeah. Tom Brady's still your quarterback. Don't worry about that. Yeah. If he goes down, you hopefully it's only minimal, but still Tom Brady's your quarterback. Let's leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And you know, you're trying to develop Kyle Trask and you still, you know, you're getting reps for Blaine Gabbert, who is, you know, the backup right now, but we wait to see, you know, can Kyle Trask overtake that position? And just have to find out in training camp. And I think that's something.
Talk to the trainer. Next.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's going to be an exciting battle to see how far Kyle Trask has taken as far as his progression. And really see what he can do in preseason games as well. So, yeah, Mark said it. I mean, Tom Brady's your quarterback until Tom Brady doesn't want to be the quarterback anymore for the Bucs. And I think that's how they're going to approach it year after year. Like next offseason, we're going to ask Tom, do you want to come back? And if he wants to come back, then they're going to make it happen. And they're just going to continue to do that cycle over and over again. And if Kyle Trask runs out of a contract, then, you know, maybe we'll find a way to trade him or, you know, vice versa, or whatever happens. I mean, they're just going to play that cycle until it's no more. I really see it that way. And that's a great thing for the Bucks.
To be honest, it almost should be. You're going to ride that momentum of elite quarterback for as long as you can. If they're that damn good, you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're already being smart by drafting Kyle Trask, hopefully having him for the future. You have a nest egg behind him. You don't know if he's great, if he's terrible, or if he's in the middle. You don't know. So he's actually getting out there and showing what he can do. Oh, Ryan Griffin, some fans think he's like a Peyton Manning of the preseason. The second you get in the games, a whole different story. So you don't know until you actually get in on Sundays, not just on preseason games.
Yeah.
But let's go to another story, I guess, before we talk depth chart and everything. And guys, bring it in the chat whenever you want to. Any question we'll address. Yeah. Chris Cole said it here too. This Florida Heat will trim Lenny Fournette down. Don't worry. And it's true.
Yeah.
You're going to lose immediately 5 pounds that first damn day, if not more.
So right.
So now he's down to 250. He's got to lose 10 pounds. He'll do that in 2 weeks. Don't worry.
No, that's a great point. And good point here by Ken as well. Don't think Brady would want Jimmy here. I agree. And then Bud asks Mayfield upgrade over Darnold. And I would say yes. I think that's a good answer right now.
I would say yes too. I mean,
yeah,
I liked Mayfield coming out of college. It's just headspace. Where the hell is he at there?
Mm-hmm.
Then again, he was one game away from the Super Bowl. He would have beat the Chiefs if his guy doesn't fumble at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
He would be facing the Browns. So he's not terrible. I mean, I think it's just hard for any quarterback to succeed in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. And then they get Deshaun Watson. That's such a Cleveland Brown move, but let's go on to the next story. Another possibility with the media and looking at the Buccaneers. Let's bring this one up. Bucs considering record-breaking tight end. Who the hell is this? It's not who you guys think. It's Kyle Rudolph. Two-time Pro Bowler Kyle Rudolph. Jeremy Fowler brought it up here. Here it is. Free agent tight end Kyle Rudolph has interest from multiple teams ahead of training camp. The Bucs have been involved. I'm not told. I'm also told a reunion with the Vikings is not off the table. The situation should be crystallized sometime before camp's open. Camp open soon.
Yeah.
Let's see what materializes with that. But otherwise, guys in the chat, and let us know how you feel. Plus, Kyle Rudolph, is that someone that would fit our bill? Do we necessarily need him? What do you think about that one?
It would be a good signing. Again, he's a veteran. He can block. He can do a lot of things inside the red zone. So I wouldn't mind, you know, the addition of Kyle Rudolph. I think it would be, you know, a feasible addition, and he would definitely help the room as far as the rookies. He would help Cameron Brate. So it would be a good addition. I wouldn't mind it at all. I think if they do make that kind of move, it'll be interesting to see, you know, where Cade Otton is as far as his injury and, you know, coming back for training camp. And obviously if they sign Kyle Rudolph, that probably means the end of Gronkowski and his potential return. It seems like, you know, he wants to be retired. I think he commented on it last week about, you know, saying, "Hey guys, I'm done." But then it's like that drama. I know that drama just keeps going because his girlfriend. Yeah. His girlfriend said
the number one source right there.
Yeah. So we honestly don't know about Rob Gronkowski. It seems like
I'm an honest lady. And honestly, I don't feel like this one is the forever one. She's not talking about Gronkowski being the one. She's talking about, is this like the last year of him playing? So yeah. I think that maybe he'll come back again. I feel like him and Tom are just having fun, like retired, not retired, retired, not retired. I would not be mad about that whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah, it just feels like this is like kind of like the Any Given Sunday situation where the quarterback, you know, wants to retire and the wife's like, "No, you got like 3 more years left. Get in there." It's like that's what it kind of feels like, but I don't know.
I hope it is. Honestly, yeah. I hope it is. I mean, Bud Campbell said it best. Tom and Gronk trolling the NFL. Hopefully it is. Showing the power of the players. They can do they're the show. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you pay for to see these guys. And Gronk is one hell of a guy you go to pay to see. He's an insane athlete, hell of a character, personality. And you just want to watch him. He's one of those guys that you'll turn on the TV to watch and you'll pay to see it. And hell, this is making the NFL even more drama filled, but more exciting. Mm-hmm. It's our soap opera, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is a full-time soap opera, you know. Just drama all the time.
But if he doesn't show, let's bring up Kyle Rudolph, because since that is a rumor, let's bring that up there. Kyle Rudolph, yeah, last year didn't really do much, but I'm pretty sure he was, there he is. But I mean, big body, 6'6", 265, humongous. It's literally what, I mean, not Cade Otton, what's our sixth round pick? I already forgot his damn name. I got to see him on the field. Co-Keefe.
Yeah, Co-Keefe.
Coolest name out there too. So he's not Gronkowski, but he's a big guy that can block and be an amazing red zone target for Tom Brady. And you've seen him in the past, bigger guys, he'll find them inside the 10. That's his bread and butter. So Kyle Rudolph, I can see him helping the great nickname, Big Country,
mm-hmm.
in the blocking game and just, yeah, letting Brady do what he has to do. They let Cade Otton come develop slowly. I can see why they would want to do it. But with the damn news of maybe hopefully Gronk told him something.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a carryover. I don't know. If he doesn't sign, you know, there's a possibility Gronk's coming. If he does sign, I would think Gronk's kind of gone.
Right. I would agree with that. I think, and obviously we'll know sometime by next week if this move does happen. You know, maybe like you said, the Bucs are just, you know, gauging interest and seeing where things are, seeing, you know, who's healthy in their building, you know, is Cade Otton ready to go for training camp? So those kind of things they got to figure out the first week. And I think the rookies are going to report next Monday. They report first and then it'll probably be sooner. But anyway, they get in the building and then, you know, guys report on the 27th and practice, you know, gets underway. So, yeah, that should be, you know, pretty intriguing as we get closer and see if that does come to fruition. I think it'd be a very good addition for sure.
All right. So I'm kind of Bud Cannibalist. What do you mean by this? That about when they get Hopkins back too, isn't it?
He's talking about Cardinals game. Yeah. Ken Barrett talking about the schedule, thinks we got a good chance of going 3-1 in the first four games. That'd be quite the feat. I think that would be very good for the Bucs. Obviously, if they can start fast, you know, that second half or that next wave of games after that four game stretch get a little bit more favorable for us. So it'd be good to get on a little bit of a run there.
Yeah, it's a hell of a four-game stretch. Let's bring it up. Mm-hmm. You got Cowboys, Saints, Packers, Chiefs. That's crazy. It's a little crazy. I mean, we've gone over that in the past. As we get closer, we'll go more in depth, but those are all playoff teams. They all made the playoffs last year, and they're all just well-coached, well-quarterbacked teams too.
Mm-hmm.
Some will say differ with this, but they're well-coached, I said first, okay? But yeah. I mean, looking at the season, let's not do that just yet. Let's look at what's ahead, which is training camp, players reporting, Lenny's weight. But, I mean, overall, camp battles. Let's look at that. So, biggest thing you were saying is left guard position. Let's jump into that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Got a key or Stinney. I like how that rhymes together.
Right.
So, I guess that's the biggest topic. It's probably the biggest starting position battle that there is, if not only, in the whole entire roster. So, what do you think in that?
I really like Gidicke. I think he's got a really good chance of becoming the starter, even as a rookie. I know, you know, he's facing the inexperience versus Aaron Stinney, who has experience, even though it's minimal, you know, the one start in the Super Bowl, which was a great, you know, great game by him. So that one, yeah, it'll be intriguing because there's a lot of guys that are going to be battling for that spot. You can put Robert Hainsey into that mix as well. He's going to be, you know, battling for that position. You know, and then a couple of the other guys like Sadarius Hutchinson, he's probably not going to get a real shot of, you know, starting. Nick Leverett, I think, was the other guy mentioned to potentially start. But I think it's really going to be down to, Aaron Stinney and Gidicke. And I just like Gidicke's game as far as technique. If he can figure out, you know, the transition to left guard quickly, I think he's got a real chance to get it.
Yeah, because he was mainly on the right side.
Right, tackle. Yep.
Central Michigan, now he's moving all the way to the other side. Some say, it should be easy. He's moving inside, but still, it's instead of moving to one side, turning your whole body to one side, now he's inside, relying on other people to do their jobs. He was almost on an island. Now he's having to rely on people or help people out more. So there's different things that go on that, again, if it was a change in college, okay, maybe he can do this. This is an NFL. This is a massive jump and a massive change in positioning. So I hope he gets it. He's very technical sound. But still, like, Sidney probably has upper hand, but I can see what you're saying with Gedeke and his abilities already has, the tenacity he has. I mean, he wins you over when you watch his tape, but let's see. I mean, Stinney's not going to give it away. Let's put it that way.
Mm. Right. Yeah. And, you know, Bud Kamblis talks about, you know, the footwork difference. Yeah. It's adjustment. So you have to make sure, you know, your hands and your feet are connected, especially on that left side. And again, it's a transition because everything's coming at you faster from the inside, you know, instead of right tackle where it's more, you got more space to work with, more timing, stuff like that. But yeah, that's a battle I'm definitely looking forward to. That's probably going to be the most, I guess you could say, heated battle. Definitely physical for sure. I can't wait to see that. And then I guess my other battle.
One more topic on that. So when you said confuse your footwork, I don't know if it was our offensive line coach this that we have right now, but I've heard in the past that they compared it to being like a switch hitter in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're literally going the other side of the plate to hit. And now you're literally going from one side, I'm getting used to this side, my punching arms this way. All right, now I'm going to turn over and totally change everything around. So, I mean, I can see where it's complicated, confusing, and an adjustment. And yeah, Ali Marpet is an outlier. He could do anything, right guard, center, left guard, didn't matter. Like, he just did it. That's not the norm. There's a reason why he was so damn good, and he's what they're trying to fill in. Just doesn't grow on trees and just doesn't happen immediately. That's why some of these people that think, we should have a Pro Bowler at every position in the backup blows my damn mind.
Yeah.
And you always bring it down to earth when we say, remember Caleb Benaganak was a right guard here for a couple of years and it was disgusting. So,
yeah. Yeah. I joked, a few days back about, I think it was actually with Ken Barrett. I joked that Caleb Benenock was the reason Jameis threw the ball to other opponents instead of his team. So, yeah, it was funny because I think they were like talking about the Bears receiving corps, and he was saying that the always you know had Jameis with good weapons you know surrounding him. So, but that one, yeah, that one offensive lineman though that ruined the whole thing.
So. He was bad. Let's be honest. He was bad.
He was.
Let's just stop it there. I don't want to ridicule the guy too much. If we had our show more, we're doing Twitter feeds of him. When was the vines of him doing circles?
Oh, right.
On the interior. It was bad.
Yeah.
But yeah. Left guard's a huge position battle. Who wins that? And then again, I think Todd Bowles said it. He's literally been so political this whole time. Mm-hmm. Like Clyde Christensen will say one thing. He's like, oh no, but there's going to be a battle. You have Gabe, you have Gabbert, you have Kyle Trask. I mean, they're going to battle out when Christensen said, no, he's going to sit down. And Gabbert's the guy.
Yeah.
Saying the same thing here. He mentioned everyone. No, they're all going to have a chance. They're all going to, no. I think it's between those two guys. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins it. And let's see what happens in the season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, the quarterback battle for the backup. I think that will be I just hope it is like a legit competition. You know, hopefully, you know, Kyle gets, you know, good reps with the twos. I would just like to see him get at least a couple of series with the backups and see what he can do. You know, obviously probably that first game he's probably gonna be with pretty much the same guys he was with last year, like threes and you know, fours, but hopefully he can progress to get, you know, some work with the number two guys. I would love to see that.
Plus, I know I want this too. I still think Gabbert is there.
It makes sense from not only from salary standpoint, but experience. And he's going to be going in if something does happen to Tom regardless. So Blaine's going to be that guy going in.
Hey.
But I would just like to see Kyle at least get one opportunity with the backups to really see a legit, you know, what can he do with better talent around him? That's really what I want to see. And even if he doesn't win the number two spot, which is, like you said, probably not likely, I would just like to see him get those reps with some increased competition, talent, all the above around him and see what he can do as far as running the offense.
I fully agree. I mean, I just want to see, did those mechanics improve? Is the beloved arm strength, is it any better?
Right.
I mean, there were times last preseason he'd throw a dime to people right in their hands, they drop it.
Yeah.
that's an incompletion and his fault. No, I mean, the timing issues, okay, I can get on that. But if it's a ball he threw deep down the seam or down on the sideline and it was hit your hands, it's your fault. It's not his fault. So if he can start connecting on those, like you said, with the second teamers, not the third or fourth, then we can see that we're actually making strides with a player. I think that's why Ryan Griffin would just literally throw to the tight end because he knew they would catch it. He usually had better tight ends than receivers. But offensively, that is pretty much your battles. I don't really see anywhere else unless you can kind of see one and I'm just being blind.
Yeah. Once you get into receiver, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth receiver spots. The bottom. I mean, Russell Gage is going to be your number three. After that, I mean, it's a competition. We don't know if Tyler Johnson or Scotty Miller are going to be on this team. Jalen Darden is in question. So, I mean, you got guys like Cyril Grayson, Bashard Perriman, Devin Tompkins. We did a film study on him recently. So all those guys are looking and battling for positioning. So that'll be definitely a battle to watch.
And then other than that, it's just going to be fun to see these young guys like Rashad White. Mm-hmm. Is he like, if people are thinking, oh, is Leonard Fournette's weight is going to be too much? Rashad White could push him. Doubt it, but still, I want to see his pass catching ability. Can he push Keyshawn Vaughn and Gio for reps? And then Kate Otten, Kokeef. I mean, are they going to be good enough to heed Kyle Rudolph from being signed? Are they going to be just great blockers? Are they going to make a contribution to the offense in a whole, like goal line situations? Can we still do three tight end sets? we truly will find out. And then Cody McIlroy, no one ever talks about him besides the coaches, and then no one repeats it. He's a massive body, and he's never had the opportunities to actually get out there. So that is a competition, because there's no true number one. Bray is your number one, but he's a blocking liability at times. So it's almost a group by committee tight end room. Mm-hmm. That's also something I want to talk about. How do you feel about that? So there's no true blocker besides Get Out and Kokeef, but are they going to be relied on very heavily?
It's definitely a new dynamic, that's for sure. And I think that's the dynamic of the offense this year. As you see the offseason, it really shows that the Bucs want to get more physical up front. They want to be, you know, just more dominant in the run game, I feel, a little bit more balanced. Still, the play-action passing game is going to be there. Throwing down the field is going to be there. All those things are still going to be a big part of it. But I think with the additions of the blocking tight ends, and then also the pass-catching ability of Rashad White, I think is going to be huge, because his ability to go out wide, and he talked about it on our interview, like him being used as a weapon, not just a running back out there, you know, being that extra playmaker instead of another receiver on the field. Like, that is stuff that I think they want to utilize. And it, as far as the tight ends, yeah, it will probably be a committee. But Cameron Brate is still he fits what they want to do offensively still, because he can, you know, catch football, do all those things. So yeah, it'll definitely be rotation as far as heavy packages. You're going to see the bigger guys in there, Kadon, Kokeef, et cetera.
Another cool thing is in those situations, Rashard White and Leonard Fournette can be on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. Put White out wide and have an end around to him. I mean, guys get mad. Oh, he doesn't have true breakaway speed. Alvin Kamara doesn't have true breakaway speed. He just is hard to bring down.
Yeah.
Shifty and just very reliable, very consistent, and great hands. Is he going to be Alvin Kamara? No one knows. I mean, I'm not going to put that on his chest like that, but no one thought Alvin Kamara was going to be the guy he is. He was a third-round pick. So,
right.
Who the hell knows? So all we know is that he did well in college. He catched the ball, and he is very motivated, and sounds like he has a really good head on his shoulders. So I'm a big fan of his. Let's see what we can get out of him. And will he be pushing Lenny? That'd be good. That'd be a very good thing for the Buccaneers. And then tight end room, like you just mentioned, there's so many different abilities these guys have. Cam Brate can be used in the backfield, out wide, in line, and like you can do anything with him. And then Kadon and Kokeef are the big maulers. Hopefully we do start running more. So I'd get excited about that just because we do need to do that. Brate talked about it during the offseason. We need to run the ball more, especially against these teams like the Saints, Packers, these playoff teams that know how to slow their offense down. Well, why don't we slow the ball down and just grind them out and then beat them over the top later in the game? You don't have to go deep every damn time in the first quarter. That's where usually where we shoot ourselves in the foot. And now I'm done talking about offense.
Yeah, great point here by Ken. You know, he's saying White's going to be RB1 by week 8. I could definitely see that be a situation where, you know, Rashad, and we talked about this earlier, Rashad takes over by the end of the season. I could just see him continually to progress and, you know, get more reps as the season goes along, especially if he just gets comfortable, really overtakes maybe Lenny as far as that third down back. It really depends on how well he pass protects. That's going to be the biggest thing. If he can pass protect, then it might be game over for everyone else.
I mean, not necessarily that. Like I just mentioned, if he performs like Kamara, get the hell out. Like
they could specialize him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like not just be, oh, we need to get this damn guy on the field more often. Like teams are scared of him. So if you game plan for him, over the top's going to be so much damn easier.
Right.
So he's an X factor, which funny, like teams can't wear again on this offense with Tom Brady led, a perfect decision maker. What do you do? It's good luck defenses. Yeah. Speaking of defenses, before we jump over to defense, guys, if I know the group's getting lit in there with the comments, if you have time, give us a little like button down below. You're already commenting and doing great. I know you're subscribed since you're here, but help the channel out, help support us a little bit more. That like button always helps push the channel to all Buck fans that want to hear a little bit more in-depth, I guess, opinions. And we break it down pretty well for you guys. I hope so. Mm-hmm. If you guys agree, let us know in the chat, but let's keep talking and let's talk some defense. So defensively, I guess all the starters are pretty much set. It's just more who's going to be your second tier edge rusher, second tier safety, who's like you said, the third safety. Mm-hmm. And some people were concerned about the cornerbacks, but I guess let's bring up the actual room, the whole page of the defense. What do you see it? How do you see this as? Where's the biggest fight? Where's the biggest battle?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest battle, I mean, it's definitely in the secondary. I think there's just a lot of competition there. I think, you know, guys have to stay healthy. And that was the biggest issue last year. You know, there's just so many injuries right off the start. I think we were starting Richard Sherman by what, week three or something like that, week four.
It's Patriots right there.
Yeah. So, you know, certain players just got to stay healthy and really hopefully we can define roles like going into the season and guys can stay at those spots. I mean, that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
You know, Carlton Davis, you want to see Jamel Dean really take that second starter role, because really last year it was Sean Murphy Bunting as the starting outside corner, you know, to start the season. So hopefully, you know, Jamel can levitate his game to become that starter opposite of Carlton Davis. And then Sean Murphy Bunting can really solidify the nickel position and he can grow into that spot and just worry about playing that one spot and really, you know, narrow that down to his skill set and become a consistent player.
Yeah, I mean, the cornerback position, I can understand the worry. I mean, John Murphy Bunting, although he got hurt really early, he did not look good in that week one game.
Right.
He was getting roasted left and right. I know Dak was throwing dimes left and right, but make it a little bit harder. Like, there was like 3 to 5 yard spaces between him and the receiver. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was shaking him left and right. Mm. And it from our standpoint in the stands, like, we could see it every damn time. Like, geez.
Yeah.
And even on the touchdown that he got beat on, he's behind trying to come in late, and then Antoine Winfield just snaps that elbow right out. That needs to be cleaned up. Jamel Dean, like you just said, needs to win that second cornerback position. Let Murphy Bunting sit in that nickel spot. I think that's where he fits best. Presently, right now, let him just sit in that position. Don't make him drop back into do safety position. Let him just get simplified into what he needs to do. It's already hard enough that you have to think, am I blitzing? Am I covering short? What variables could happen? Could a running back fall into my zone? Yeah, like there's already enough in that position of nickel corner. So health is the biggest thing. Carlton Davis, I have nothing bad to say about him. Just stay healthy. That's it. Whenever he's healthy, he performs.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, a lot of people talking about Sean Murphy Bunting, and rightfully so. I mean, he's just been so up and down, you know, throughout his career. Injuries, just inconsistent play. Really, it's been up and down throughout his career. The only bright moment he had was those 4 interceptions, obviously, during the playoffs. And for whatever reason, it, you know, worked for him, you know, in that those games. So hopefully he can find some of that magic and keep it going. But, you know, really, it might be tough for him because there's going to be competition there. I think Logan Ryan has a real shot of getting nickel reps. You know, Mike Edwards as well has an opportunity to play in the slot. So, I mean, it could be very intriguing as far as if, you know, who they're putting in that situation, because they want to get the best 11 guys out there on the field at all times.
I mean, I can see both. I mean, Logan Ryan, I can see, is a better option. Mike Edwards at times just didn't look good. I mean, against the Jets, they were literally targeting him left and right. So that was a little scary against last year. I mean, you never know, he could make improvements on that, but I would say Logan Ryan, if anyone would push him. Either way, the competition's here. You're going to see it all in training camp. We're going to be at training camp a couple times. Mm. It should be extremely fun and heated to see, especially with the damn Tampa Heat.
Yeah.
But I mean, defensively, I mean, everyone's going to be concerned of your secondary, but I don't think it's as big as of a concern if they can just stay healthy. I mean, the shambles that were the first few weeks of the season, they couldn't get their footing. It was just, who the hell is going to get hurt next? Dee Delaney was your starter.
Yeah.
Like it was tough at that point. So health is the biggest thing. I mean, don't come in to like Lenny, come in ready to go and let's see what can happen. And this defense could firing all cylinders if healthy. That's the big if.
Yeah, definitely a question mark, and hopefully they can, you know, solidify it, you know, going into the season and just be ready. You know, people talk, I think it was Trill G-Boy 2 talked about backup inside linebacker. Yeah, that's a good position to look at. Obviously with KJ Britt, is he going to step up into that role, second year player? And they're trusting him. They're trusting him to, you know, take that leap. And this is what the old Buccaneers used to do. You know, you draft and you develop these guys, and then when contracts, you know, come up, and that guy that you drafted has to step in. So he could be a really potential replacement for, you know, Lavonte David if they decide to move on from him. Hopefully we don't, but you just never know. And you know, KJ, you don't know when that, you know, that time is going to be. So you got to prepare and have guys ready that can, you know, learn the system and play it the right way. And hopefully KJ can show that this preseason, where he's adjusted his speed as far as just being faster to the football and really come downhill and start making plays.
Yeah, I mean, if the brain's firing all cylinders, he can get to the play before it's even there. So
right.
You don't necessarily have to have Devin White's speed to be a great player in the NFL. Before we keep talking, let's actually bring up one of our little sponsors of the show. So guys, I know we've talked about it a little bit, but let's bring it on here. Gulf Coast Premier Fitness Expo. This is going to be in the Tampa Convention Center. This is something really cool we kind of wanted to get involved with. I mean, things inside the actual city of Tampa that we can all go to enjoy and just thrive in the whole city. It's not just the Buccaneers. This is part of it, like being able to meet up and see cool events in the Tampa area. I mean, they're going to have over 100 vendors. We're talking Oakley, any supplement, like workout supplement, if you guys work out or anything, health and wellness, clothing. They got a lot. You can see in the background of that picture, there's a whole bunch of things that's going to be going on, and things for kids, things for adults, adult beverages. It's all there. Food, drinks, kids zone, live sports, special appearances. And then if you want to just watch these guys, what is it? It's like a CrossFit / powerlifting / everything workout or athlete in general. We already watched the Buccaneers. Let's see these guys in person lifting big, heavy weights. And it's crazy and exciting, to be honest. If you have kids, you want to go run around with the kids and watch these people, go ahead. Throw them in the ball pit. Throw them in the jump houses. This is a fun event we're getting a part of. And you can see here on the screen, 25% off, RBT25 on the tickets. And let's go over that. So everyone's like, oh, how the hell is that possible? Boom. Here's your site, TampaBayGames.com. Like we were mentioning, you can be an athlete, register, or you can be a spectator. Likely you guys are going to be spectators. If you want to go crazy balls deep, there you go. Athlete register. But click on the tickets. Here it is, $10 to $30. Click on tickets. Come on over here. Enter promo code. What's that promo code? What is it, Plus?
It's going to be RBT25.
25. There you go. Just get yourself some two tickets here. It's going to be $47. No, if you apply it, what do you know? You get a little discount from RBT25. So, guys, if you want to support the channel, that also helps us out, too. We're probably going to be there. It's going to be a fun event. It's during one of the preseason games. We're not going to miss anything crazy, but have fun. Hopefully we can meet you guys there, too. But with that said, let's jump into some more Buccaneer football. Hope you guys like that. I'm really excited to go to that actual event, too.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm going to get an adult beverage, too, or two. Let's jump into it. Some more defensive line, defensive interior, defensive tackles. I mean, we got additions there, rookies, veterans. What do you think is going to go on in there?
Well, obviously, you know, the big additions, and big literally, is Akeem Hicks right there in the middle next to Vita Vea. And again, the health term comes back to the forefront. You know, these guys need to stay healthy. Vita Vea, you want to see him in great shape and being healthy. And obviously, be out there more snaps if possible, have these guys on a rotation. I think that's going to be the biggest thing, because you look behind them, you still have Nunez Roches, who is a big part of the rotation. Logan Hall, obviously the second round pick, is going to be a big part of the defense, especially the pass rush. Patrick O'Connor still in there. So you have guys that can rotate in and out. And then obviously on the edge, you're looking at Joe Tryon-Shoyinka and Shaq Barrett. Those guys are going to be, you know, the premier pass rushers to get the sacks, and hopefully they can do so. And then you still have, you know, Anthony Nelson, William Golston, guys like that to help out, fortify the front up, you know, to get the pass rush going.
Yeah, and I can see the worries in some sense. I can see the opportunities as well. I mean, Logan Hall is a big X factor as well. I mean, I know some people were like, oh, we should have gotten more of a run stuff, or he doesn't fit what the hell we do. But that's the thing. He doesn't fit what we do. He's more of a penetrating interior lineman, and we need that, especially if someone's going to have to double him. Devin White can fly in an open gap because he's hitting a gap where Vita Vea took up two. Someone has to cover Logan Hall, who just shot a gap. There's just too much speed and too many options that can come after the quarterback. Then I can also see where people are concerned our edge rushers aren't really there, even though Shaq Barrett's one of the most quiet 10-sack type of season guys. Joe Tryon, Choyinka could turn into something special this year. I mean, it looks like he's trained nonstop and he's ready to go. Does he make that massive jump? Or who's behind him? Do we have the rotation aspect going? Anthony Nelson, he had 5 sacks last year. Can he improve on that? But who's behind them? Is Cam Gill going to win it? Do they necessarily care? Is this Andre Anthony guy going to prove something of his athletic ability and stay healthy? Again, that health question mark. But, I mean, defensively, your starters are your starters. And Plus says this all the time. That's what you're paying for. And if they get hurt, yeah, well, shit. Or the game, but still, you pay them to perform. And that starting front seven, insane. And Akeem Hicks is a huge addition to me. I just think the interior pass rush he's going to bring next to Vita Vea will be game-changing. Let's put it that way.
Right, I agree. And, you know, you always hear me say this, Mark, maybe not on this show, but, you know, in our text messages, you know, I'm always saying your star players have to be your star players. And that's why you pay Shaq Barrett. That's why you pay guys like Akeem Hicks, you know, Levante David, Devin White. These guys have to be studs. They have to be stars. Vita Vea just got a new contract. So he's got to produce. He's got to be that big man in the middle. He's got to, you know, hold his ground, take on double teams so he can open up lanes for Devin White to get on blitzes. And, you know, they're going to be creative still. That's not going to go away. You're probably going to, you hope to see more just, you know, 3-man, 4-man rushes and play coverage and hope that works, but not all the time it's going to work. So, hey, shout out, Ken, we appreciate it, man. Thank you for super chat. Much appreciated. Glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, hopefully we're providing you with good enough intel and just, I guess, outlook of the whole team in general. And thank you very, very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. But like I was saying, you know, these guys have to be the best. Antoine Winfield Jr. going into his third year, he's got to produce. And if these guys get hurt, then yeah, it does suck. Other parts of your team have to step up. The offense has to, you know, produce more probably. You know, that's why they call it a team game.
Yeah. That's why it's complementary football. I mean, that's something where we talk about it all the time and people think like, no, Devin White had a terrible season last year. He didn't do anything like he did the year where he almost had 10 sacks. Well, your whole secondary went to shit and he had to cover for everyone else. They used his 4-3 speed to be everywhere on the field. Right. It's hard for a guy to do that and get sacks and cover the running game and cover underneath routes. And, oh, shit, well, D.D. Lanny's starting. I need you to go help him out, too. A lot. And hopefully, with better pass rush comes more opportunities for interceptions or tip balls or opportunities for turnovers. And that's what we need. Get the ball in the hands of Tom Brady so he can do his thing. And, yeah, offensively, they need to do their own thing, too, and not shoot themselves in the foot trying to go deep every damn time. And utilize the clock, start running a little bit more. Complementary football in that aspect too. The defense gets you the ball, do something with it. And that's all you ask for in any team you look for, right? Mm. It's just, let's see that happen. There's a lot of, like I said earlier, veterans and youthful players, but a lot of your starters are all veterans, especially in the defense. There's no rookie starting. I mean, the youngest guy is Joe Tryon Choyinka, and he could be making one of the biggest leaps of everyone on that damn team. So,
right. Absolutely.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good time to be excited. This is the best time of the year because, you know, football is right around the corner. Everyone's starting fresh. Everyone's starting training camp. And, you know, now's the preparation. You get ready, you know, for these preseason games. And obviously you get ready for the Cowboys, you know, week one, because that's the mindset. Really, that's the only game that matters right now because that's the first one you play. So, you know, this is where all the scheming and, you know, the game plans go into it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I think the biggest quote of the year so far has been Todd Bowles talking about these guys just doing their jobs, you know, yeah, playing assignment sound football and not relying on Tom Brady to win us games. Go out there and do your job. You know, if you do this and we play well around Tom Brady instead of Tom Brady overshadowing our mistakes on everyone else, then the team will be just fine. And I think that's something that, you know, they have to look at and really focus on. And you talk about Devin White trying to do too much. I think if we just let him play linebacker, yeah, we'll see how really good he is. And I think this year will be, it should be a big bounce back year for him if they let him play the, you know, what he's supposed to do.
I mean, like you just mentioned about not, I think a lot of it's media always saying, how is Tom Brady? How is Logan Hall? You walk next to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I think some of it's that. It's also him just shooting it straight. Like, listen, Tom Brady shouldn't be our savior every damn game. There's also, let's see, there's 22 guys on the field. So there's 21 other guys that can contribute. Just shouldn't be Tom Brady being the guy that does it for you. Yeah. And we can get pick sixes and win a game. And Jameis Winston showed that it could happen. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be all on his shoulders. Defense usually wins championships. We showed that against the Kansas City Chiefs when we did win it. This defense needs to step up and show they can. And I think they truly can. I mean, there's a lot of – I'm looking at it right now. There's a lot of opportunities there. I know some people would say the secondary is weak. If your interior line gets there, it's making it easier for your secondary. You don't have to run around looking, oh, 3 to 5 seconds later. What the hell? The ball's not out yet. One jump and go. Let's see it. I mean, overall, defensively, I'm kind of sound with it. Secondary with the veterans they have, and we'd even mention Keanu Neal, hard hitting, gonna try and replace Jordan Whitehead. That's the biggest thing, I guess. Defensively, Antoine Winfield's your center stone right there. But is Mike Edwards gonna be good enough to fill Jordan Whitehead's shoes, or is that gonna be a committee thing as well? Keanu Neal and Logan Ryan.
Well, I think, you know, look at it this way, Mark. I think Keanu Neal, Logan Ryan, the biggest thing they're going to add is not only experience, but tackling. Is going to be the biggest thing they add, especially open field tackling. That is something where last year it's kind of a mess. And that's part because you had so many new guys coming in and out, you know, with the injuries. But I think with Keanu Neal and Logan Ryan back there, that's just going to make you much better overall tackling, and it's going to help a lot where these guys catch, you know, maybe a, you know, 5 yard pass and it only goes for 5 yards.
Yeah.
So that's going to be huge, because how many times last year did we see a small dump off and it ends up going for 20 yards because a guy breaks a tackle. So, you know, stuff like that. And Todd Bowles talked about that as well. It's like those little things we have to minimize. And I think that's the biggest thing where fans, they look at our pass defense and they're like, well, we're giving up this many yards, et cetera, et cetera. But no one's going over our head. You know, no one's going down the field deep a lot. yeah, I know. Picks. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, most of the season, it was little dump offs where they catch it and then they break a tackle and get more yards. So stuff like that has to be cleaned up. And I think those two guys are going to definitely help that.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Cole saying here, defense helped a lot in the comeback against the Rams. It did, but that the last thing everyone ever remembers is the last play of the game.
Yeah.
And that's Cooper Kupp beating you deep, Antoine Winfield getting right there, and then they kick the field goal to win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, Mark will tell you, I was remembering that play for a long time. I couldn't get it out of my head, but I finally turned the corner, and I made good with it, and we move on.
Yeah, I mean, that's last year's news. Let's move on. But I mean, overall, yeah, you got guys that are coming in for other replacements. I mean, JPP is not on the team no more. Ndamukong Suh is not on the team no more. Jordan Whitehead not on the team. Those are three starters you're having to fill in, but their fill-ins are pretty damn good. And they've been on the team for a while, or they're a really good veteran fill-in. I mean, Ndamukong Suh, I mean, Akeem Hicks for Ndamukong Suh, that's a veteran for a veteran. Very big type of player too. Plays with power. But this guy gets after it in the pass rush. The only thing he doesn't have that Suh did have was healthy every damn game. Mm-hmm. Suh was just an animal. It never got hurt. Maybe he got hurt. He just played with it.
Yeah.
Hicks just has a tendency to get hurt. Hopefully, let's knock on wood, where the hell it is in my room. But he's healthy. He's a different animal, and he could bring another part of the pass rush that we just didn't have. I mean, if Vita Vea, and that was it.
He'll be fine. He's going to get on that TB12, and you know, these guys are going to play through injuries again. Alex Guerrero, you know, probably the best trainer in the world. He figures out a way to, you know, get these guys through it. So, yeah, I don't think that will be an issue. You just hope these guys can stay away from soft tissue, stuff like that, you know, and stay on the field consistently, and hopefully just no bad breaks as far as like ACLs or any of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, the only ACL we had last year was Chris Godwin, and that literally there's no way to prevent that one. Mm-hmm. Second, he put weight on it, the guy ran right into his knee. Like, there's no TB12 method that could have prevented that.
Yeah.
No avocado sauce or tequila would have stopped that. So,
yeah. That and speaking of Chris Godwin, he's actually, there's reports that he's on track for week one, which is great to see. You know, he's just a hard worker, and I want to put it past him to, you know, be ready to go week one. And even if he's not, he'll probably still come back, you know, that early part of the season stretch. And that will be a great return to get him back on the field, put Russell Gage out there with Mike Evans. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I think a lot of fans are kind of underrating that trio, if I can say the words right. I think that trio is going to surprise a lot of people. It's just going to be a lot of fun at that dynamic of how they can use them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just people see Atlanta Falcons like, oh, they're a terrible team. No one from them could be that good.
Right.
Russell, I mean, if you guys haven't seen, go check our film study of Russell Gage. That dude can catch the ball, can be used in any damn way possible. Any way we use Antonio Brown, we can use this guy too. And he's hungry. He's not a showboater that already thinks he's made it. He wants it. And he just got a contract, and he wants to prove that he's earning this contract, and he wants to win. This is a guy that's on that was on a shit show team. Now he's on a good team, and these are the guys that he looked up to. He's not going to be like, oh, I'm all that. He wants to be these guys. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, he wants to be those guys. So show up. Show up and tell them how good you are too. And I can't wait for that. That's competition.
Right, absolutely. Competition is going to be, you know, at the highest this season. Obviously, expectations are high, so there's going to be a lot of demand all around. Every room, every position is going to be competing for playing time, and that's what you want out of your organization. You want guys held to the highest standard, and these guys are going to be ready to go. And I think they got a big chip on their shoulder because they, you know, it was heartbreaking last game of the year against the Rams. And, you know, obviously they have that game circled. That's going to be a fun one to go to. So, yeah, I can't wait for the season like you guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's going to wrap it up for us. We're probably going to be live again probably next Monday with the start of training camp coming up, and we'll discuss more in depth. And hopefully there will probably be some more stories to talk about. We got some more content dropping later this week. We're going to finish up our position preview. So we have the safeties coming out tomorrow morning, and then our special teams will probably come out sometime later this week, probably Wednesday or Thursday. And then we hope to just continue to provide some different content. We're really going to work on that. The season content is going to be pretty exciting. A lot more reaction type stuff, reaction videos. We're going to try to do some content at the stadium as well. Oh, yeah. So yeah, just a lot of fun, and we always appreciate you guys joining us. Bill, be sure to, you know, leave us comments on what you want to see for the season. If you have any ideas, we'll definitely consider them. And as always, subscribe. You know, we're trying to get to 5,000 subscribers, and we much appreciate all of you. Any last words, Mark? I think we're going to just send us on out.
Well, one other thing. Yeah. If you want to support the channel even more, jump in to go check us out. When we go to this Gulf Coast Premier Fitness Expo. It's going to be at Tampa Convention Center. We mentioned it earlier. It's 25% off tickets. So it's about $30 a ticket, you get 25% off. Help support the channel. Have fun. I mean, come meet us, have an adult beverage with us. Like, I love that adult beverage line. But yeah, fun for the kids, fun for you. And we get to watch a whole bunch of animals throw weight around. It's fun.
All right, guys. Well, yeah, sounds good. Andrew, thank you for the $10 super sticker. You're always in here helping us support. Great job. Everyone in the chat, thank you so much. You guys are awesome. You guys make the show go. So other than that, I don't have anything else. Everyone have a great night, great week. And let's get ready for some football, Buccaneers football at that. So with that said, until the next one.
Go Bucks.